Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 26.
Wow, that's crazy. 26. Can't believe it's 26.
Half a year.
Half a year.
Podcasts.
I remember 26. That was a good year for me.
1926?
No. When I was 26. Not 1920. I'm not quite that old.
I was just going to say, I wanted to know how you were remembering 1926.
No, I remember being 26.
Oh, you remember being 26.
Yes.
Okay. What happened when you were 26?
Well, one of the better parts of it was I turned 27.
Okay. Okay, then.
Uh-huh. Gosh, what else happened when I was 26?
I think you met me.
I was going to say, I think we met when I was 26.
Uh-huh. I was also 26.
You were.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good year.
It was a good year.
Whatever year it was. Okay, we digress.
Anyway.
We're both tired. It's been an interesting week for both of us.
So, as you know, we have been researching relevant topics to marriage and relationships to bring to you that we think might be of interest to our listening audience. And I was checking my phone for messages the other day, and the Google News came up on my screen, and there was an article about a term I had never heard before called phubbing. Phubbing. Had you ever heard of it before?
I had never heard of that.
No. So I...
Matter of fact, a few people I've talked to about this have never heard of it.
Yeah. So I actually... It was a very interesting article, and I forwarded it to Wayne to look at. And then he did some additional research and came up with an article that we're going to link in the description of the podcast today that's from...
2018, I think.
In 2018, but I'm trying to think. Oh, I printed this out and I can't see what the publication is. I think it's PubMed. It's one of the health and medical journals, and it's actually has been medically reviewed by a psychiatrist in this. And the article, even though this Google article was just recent, just a couple days ago. The article that Wayne found that gave more information about this term phubbing was from 2018.
Yeah, and apparently the term was coined, if you want to call it, I guess that's the right word, in 2012 in Australia.
Yeah, Australia.
Mm-hmm. In Australia,
mm-hmm.
When they started seeing this and talking about this. Apparently the term is still not popular. Some of the research I saw said it hadn't quite, what did they say, caught on in the United States a lot. So, which makes sense because a lot of everybody we talked to, nobody heard of it.
Nobody heard of it. So the definition of phubbing is that it is the act of snubbing someone you're talking with in person in favor of your phone. It's phone snubbing. So that's it's a compound word made out of phone and snubbing to be phubbing. And it says, the article says, while the word might not be in your daily vocabulary, the action likely is.
Yep.
One study found that more than 17% of people phub others at least four times a day. Almost 32% of people report being phubbed 2 to 3 times a day. While the behavior might not seem like a big deal, research suggests phubbing may be hurting your relationships and your own mental health. Read on to learn more. And so what this is when you are talking with somebody else and And you're also looking at your phone and maybe texting on your phone or scrolling on your phone or
having a separate conversation.
Having a separate conversation on your phone while you're in the presence of other people. And
having conversations with them.
With them at the same time. Or not.
We're not paying attention.
And I have to say, I have been guilty of this. I have fubbed someone. Mm-hmm. Probably you.
Probably.
And I'm
sure I fubbed you too.
In fact, I think I actually did it tonight at supper time. I was trying to finish something and you were talking to me. Mm-hmm. But I think that reading this article and talking about this for a few days has made me more aware of it. And so I stopped and I asked you if you were okay with me finishing what I was doing. And then could we continue the conversation? And so you said yes. So I finished composing the message I was sending and sent it off. And then I put my phone down. And I think I'm usually not one to be connected to my phone all the time. In fact, I get in trouble because people are trying to call me or text me and they're like, you didn't answer my text. And it's because when I came in the door, my phone was in my purse and I never got it out of my purse.
Well, that's why we tell people if they need to get a hold of us to call me.
Right. Because you have one of those clips on your belt.
Yeah, so I always have my phone and you don't.
No. And then I get put in the position with my work responsibilities where I'm on call, so to speak, in on some evenings, and then I have to make sure I have my phone with me. And even when we're other places, we're out or we're having dinner or whatever, I have to keep checking my phone to see if anybody is texting me, because my team tends to text me rather than call me. But I have to be available in case they have some kind of an emergency or something urgent that I need to call them and deal with. So it actually creates a situation where I end up fubbing you and other people, but it's part of my work responsibility. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting now that we have this term about this.
Well, it's interesting because cell phones throw just such a different different perspective on things. Like I work in a steel shop, and I mean, I'm used to places where people, they run machines and they're paying attention to what the machines are doing. And in this shop, there's a lot of young guys and they'll be running a piece of machinery. And while that piece of machinery is running, they'll be scrolling or watching something on their cell phone or texting somebody. And it's like, that's not.
Well, that's really, I mean, this is stuff that can really
it can
hurt
be
you.
Dangerous.
So this can be dangerous,
so, yeah,
yes.
It can be. It's crazy.
So the article goes on to say that, and at this time in 2018, it said that 3/4 of Americans own a smartphone. So it was surmising that the fubbing probably might be getting worse. Well, that was 5 years ago. I'm sure that probably most people in America have a smartphone. And so it is a rampant problem. You certainly see people that aren't engaged with each other when they're right beside each other and they're on their phones. It said one study found that texting during a face-to-face conversation made the experience less satisfying for everyone involved, even the guilty fubber.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that fubbing and smartphone use can also have an impact on marriages. One study found that fubbing decreases marital satisfaction. Conflicts over phone use were the driving force of these issues. Another study found that spouses who fub each other experience higher rates of depression. I thought that was interesting. And
Very interesting. You
go to this article, there's links to these studies. These are actual scientific studies that were conducted that looked at these issues. And I mean, if this was like this in 2018, pre-pandemic, I can't even imagine what the statistics would look like now.
Yep.
There was a study that was done on how fubbing affects mental health. It says the effect of fubbing may be worse on people who find themselves at the receiving end of the snubbing. A study published in the Journal of Applied Social Psychology found that people who viewed simulated snubbing felt more negatively about the interaction when they were told to imagine being the person fubbed than when they were not asked that. That's interesting. Hmm. It says, what is the driving force behind those feelings? Fubbing is a threat to 4 fundamental needs the study found. Those core needs are belongingness, self-esteem, meaningful existence, and control. When someone fubs you, you may feel rejected, excluded, and not important. This can have a significant impact on your mental health.
Well, that does make sense.
Yeah, I think so too. And research also shows that people who are fubbed are more likely to reach for their phones and try to engage with their social media network in order to fill that void. Mm-hmm. And this is the start of a vicious cycle. And it says that diving into social media may actually make the problem worse. Social media may have a negative impact on your mental health, according to research published in Computers and Human Behavior. The study found that social media can make feelings of depression worse, and the more you use social media, the more likely you are to feel depression. Wow. And I mean, like I said, this was 2018, so pre-pandemic, and we know that when we were locked in our homes for all that time, and then a lot of the world still stayed online. I think I worked from home for about 8 months. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, and I actually only stopped working at home because I changed jobs. And so we know that more people were connected to their devices because you couldn't go anywhere. You weren't supposed to have interactions with people or do anything. Mm-hmm. So this is very interesting. It actually gives me concern about what the statistics look like now. I have to see if we could find some more recent mm-hmm. research on this. So,
Oh, I like that question. Are you a fubber?
Mm-hmm. So, you want to read that part?
Sure. The number one sign that you are guilty of fubbing is in your hand, your phone. If your phone is with you at all times because you're afraid you'll miss a call, a tweet, or a status update, you are likely guilty of fubbing. Here are three signs you may be a fubber. Number one, you carry on two conversations at once, on your phone and in person. You're likely doing neither successfully. Well, ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And you're most certainly fubbing.
I know I often miss details because I can't mm-hmm. focus on both things at the same time.
Yeah, see, that's I can't either. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. So number two, you immediately bring your phone out at a dinner or other social settings. Putting your phone beside your plate just in case is a warning sign that you'll soon be fubbing. Plus, you don't even have to touch your phone during a conversation for it to negatively impact your relationship. One study found that just the presence of the phone made people feel less connected.
Hmm. It's interesting that just having the phone there made people feel less connected. Mm-hmm. Just seeing it.
Well, I know when I've been in social situations and somebody just brings their phone out and sets it up, it's like, okay, well, are they going to text? What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's one thing, like, if you know, like, maybe you've left your kids at home or mm-hmm. or you have a situation going on that you know you might get an emergency phone call, I will get my phone out and I will put it face down on the table, or I will make sure that it's laying in the top of my purse on the floor beside me so that I can easily get to mm-hmm. it if it starts to ring. But I always make sure that the screen is down so that I'm not tempted to pay attention to anything that might pop up on the screen.
Well, I think it makes a difference too, like in your work situation too, on evenings when you're on call. I mean, that's a different situation.
Right.
Yeah. Number three, you can't get through a meal without checking your phone. The fear of missing out is real, and that's a real sign you're fubbing.
Mm-hmm. And I think we've tried to get in the habit of not getting our phones out, especially when we're in a restaurant. It's really sad. I think you can see how rampant this problem is. If you go to a restaurant and you look around and you'll see whole families mm-hmm. sitting in a booth together or sitting at a table and everybody is on their phone. Nobody is talking to each other. Nobody's interacting. There's no laughter. It's just quiet. They're just all looking at their phones. And I even was in a situation that I couldn't believe when I was still a youth group leader with you. You still are at church. And we were doing some kind of a service activity. And I I think you and I were both driving. You were driving, I was sitting in the passenger seat, and we had two girls with us, like middle school age girls in the back seat with us. And they were very quiet. And we were like, what? You know, we're like, you guys are so quiet. And they said, oh, we're texting each other. They were sitting beside each other in the car, and they were texting each other. So, I mean, maybe they were saying stuff they didn't want us to hear, but still, I just thought that was so weird. And it's really a problem.
Well, it's weird with the technology. I remember talking to a guy a while ago who would email his grandkids. They would not email him back. He would call his kids, his grandkids. They would not call him back. But if he texted them, they'd text him right back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. And I've had people tell me that they don't answer phone calls or they don't answer emails. They will only answer text messages. So I know in my job that creates interesting problems for us. But anyway, so the article goes on to suggest three ways to stop fubbing. And it says, if the idea of giving up social media makes you nervous and a little sick to your stomach, you're not alone. And this was really interesting. Mm-hmm. In fact, one study found that the urge to check social media is stronger than the urge for sex.
I thought that was very interesting.
I was like, really? That doesn't mean, however, that you can't learn other ways to check in with social media without scrolling endlessly. So they make these three suggestions. And this is one we actually just talked a little bit about. One is make meals a no-phone zone. When it's time to eat, no matter where you are, put the phone away. If a distant buzz of notifications will be too much of a distraction, turn your phone to the do not disturb mode 2. And the second... I need to finish that first thought. Give yourself each meal to engage with the people in front of you and have a sincere conversation. It may feel forced at first, but soon you will feel more comfortable with having a face-to-face conversation. That is a really sad commentary on our society, that we have to learn to feel comfortable having a face-to-face conversation.
Yep.
Oh, my. Number 2, leave your phone behind. You might feel as if you've lost a limb, but don't be afraid to simply put your phone in your car, desk drawer, or bag and leave it there. Whatever alerts or updates happen, they'll be waiting for you later. And I mean, that has happened to me where I've left my phone behind. Now, I've left it at home and been halfway to work and had to turn around and get it, because unfortunately it's a mode of communication with my team. And so the expectation is that I have my personal cell phone, which I still struggle with this, that my job expects me to use my personal cell phone to communicate as part of my job, but they don't give me any kind of reimbursement. At least your job gives you a stipend to pay.
Yeah, my job, they expect me to do the same thing.
But yeah, they give you a stipend to cover the cost of the cell phone plan. And I don't get that. But sometimes I just go without my phone, and it's the weirdest feeling. If you've ever done it and you left it behind, it's almost like part of your body fell off. We're just so attached to them. I was just having a conversation with a friend saying that I really, really, truly would like to go back to the days where phones were attached to the wall and like people couldn't find me when I was on vacation or I was out for dinner or I was at a movie or even if I was at work. the only way people could find me is if they called my desk phone at work. And when I was home, the only way people could find me is if they called the house phone. It was definitely a simpler plan. And the third suggestion is to challenge yourself. Everyone enjoys a little prize now and then. Make ignoring your phone a challenge. Keep track of the meals or hours you go without your phone in hand. When you completed a goal, treat yourself and then challenge yourself again. So we're at the end of our time for this podcast, but we are going to continue this conversation next week. Yep. So come back and join us. Stay tuned. And we want your marriage and relationships to be richly blessed. We pray that. And we challenge you to do something this week to put down your phone and not to be a fubber.
Don't be a fubber.
Don't be a fubber. All right. Till next week.
Yep. God bless.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.